Welcome to the ES Arcade with Emmanuel, Sean, and Randy. Join us as we discuss video games, movies, and comics. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
let's go crazy!
That little red light is on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ES Arcade. I am Emmanuel, Randy, Sean, on the show with me right now. Guys, what's up?
Finally! Shit. We had a week off.
Well, you know, holidays and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I mean, I was busy. Everyone was busy. It was crazy. And I'm still not, like, not busy, you know? So
when are we ever not busy at this point in our lives?
I just, like, at this point, like, fuck. ES Arcade's starting to make a little bit of moves. And we got, like, we're just, you know, busy. And I'm digging it. I'm digging it. So, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. So I've got a confession to make.
Okay.
I went to go see the new Fast and Furious movie.
Okay, I haven't yet.
I have not. And
okay, so.
Oh, man, is it that bad?
It's,
yeah. What the hell happened to you?
How do I, okay, it's not bad in the sense of like, it's a bad movie. Okay. I will say it is drawn out. There are moments where it does feel like it slows down a little bit, maybe because it's just like, they stretched it out as much as they can. Like, mm-hmm. like some of the camera pans of the city that they're in were probably slowed down just a little bit more because they needed to fill in the space. So yeah, there was moments where I'm just like, come on guys, move it along. For a movie that's about fast, you're not really doing it all so much. But
they're not furious enough.
Or yeah, you're not furiously going for the speed right now. But what I have said this multiple times on this show, that when you go watch when you go to see a Fast and Furious movie, you are supposed to shut your brain down because yes. it's just a movie of pure adrenaline and ridiculousness. That it's just, you know, if you try to apply logic to this, you are not going to have a good time. That's the truth. That is the truth for the most recent Fast and Furious movies. And I will fight anyone who says otherwise. But
Sean, showing off your superstars.
Yeah.
Are you new to superstars or
No, I've had these for a minute, but yeah, I'm so happy about them. I kept them clean for a while. It's good.
You got the shoe cleaner and everything, huh?
No, I don't. I just keep them in the box.
Oh man, I'm so tempted when I see you again wearing them. I'm just gonna
scuff the shit out of them.
I'm gonna pretend to do it and let you.
I'm gonna wear my Skechers around you.
You know what? I'll get back to Fast and the Furious in a second, but I feel like Randy, you're gonna pretend to do it, and in some way or form, Sean's gonna end up doing.
That's what I said. That's
it's a reaction of the fake attempt. Yeah.
Look at you, did Sean?
So again, without going into any spoilers, the stunts, I guess you would call them, not necessarily stunts, but the insanity that is Fast and Furious,
okay,
takes it to a whole new level of absurdity and ridiculousness.
So is the movie asking you, all right, because always when I watch a Fast and Furious movie, I'm like entertained, but yeah, the brain gets turned off a bit. So are you saying in Fast 9 they're literally replacing your brain with stupid so you have to actually enjoy it?
No.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, despite your brain being on the off switch, the movie forces it back on because of just how ridiculous it is.
Okay.
Like you look at it and you're just like, oh, come on. Like,
okay.
Like it's, no matter how hard you tell yourself, this is a Fast and Furious movie. This is supposed to be absurd and ridiculous and nonsensical in the sense of the things that they do. But no matter how hard or how many times you tell yourself that, you are not ready. Hmm. You are not ready for it. Like, you can always try to prepare yourself like, okay, I'm feeling sick. I need to start getting ready. Get plenty of water and vitamins and hot sauce with soup and all that. And then it hits you and you're just like, I feel like death. Like, you can try as hard as you want to be ready for this. You will not be ready for the new Fast and Furious movie when you guys go watch
it. How ridiculous it is.
How ridiculous it is.
Fair enough. Huh. Cool.
So,
that's exactly what I wanted here.
Good luck.
Not that I
enjoy the show.
Yes.
but holy crap. That is my review of the movie.
Ridiculous.
Spoiler free.
I mean,
and you know what? You know, I can't remember his name, but Tyrese's character also brings up a very interesting point in the movie that you're going to be like, hey, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything.
Roman Pierce.
I am not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it yet. I know that with theaters becoming more available, more open and whatnot, I don't want to take anybody away from there.
Dwayne Johnson was sketching on a armored vehicle in the polar ice caps while trying to redirect a torpedo that had launched up. So, you know, it's not a far shot.
As insane as that is.
You believe that?
It's got nothing on it.
Okay, so something has to happen in this movie where you just like, no, mm-mm. So does Han's penis just turn into like a Gundam? Oh, I don't understand what it could have been.
I mean, that could be a thing that happens next.
And once again, Sean goes into the reproductive organs of the
body. I don't understand what it could be.
It could be a lot.
Just wait and see, sir. Just wait and see. Go watch the movie with Randy and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Fast and Furious.
Yes.
No, furious I'd rather there. Watch Black Widow, but I mean, you know, whatever. Okay. Maybe you can blame it all on COVID, where it's like a lot of people couldn't show up for like reshoots or anything.
I mean, the movie was almost done. So yeah, by the time that happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it was almost done, but like reshoots still need to happen.
No, not when it was almost done. It was
not when if we were talking about in the sense of what happened with Justice League, where they got a new director, then you could kind of understand the reshoots and everything, but everything was going perfectly well with Fast and Furious, and it just COVID hit, which slowed everything down, but they were still happy with what they had. Like all the shots had already been done, you know?
Yeah, they were making it a summer release, so they had to have been finished summer release last year. Or hold on, sorry.
Like 2019.
Oh, no, let's see.
No, I'm sorry, 2020.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It was supposed to be April 2021. So, you know, it was more or less almost done. All they had to do now is get it all, like, you know, do all the audio mixing and whatever it is. And yeah, I don't think any of that would have helped, to be quite honest, if you're that close.
So just go check it out. I think
I want to see it. It's not like a priority.
Like I said, there are parts where it feels like it slows down. I'm just giving you guys fair warning right now. But overall, it's still an enjoyable romp.
I mean, there's not a Fast and Furious movie I don't enjoy, but you know, I also understand what they've become, because it used to be, hey, we're racing and, you know, maybe some crime. And then
we became secret agents in order to clear our names.
Yeah. It's interesting to see the range from, hey, we're street racing and robbing trucks, to then fighting international terrorists and cyber monsters.
and then having a barbecue at the end every time.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
At a different place. But yes, good old Fast and Furious, people. Woo!
So we're waiting for the next one, which will supposedly bring back The Rock and Jason Statham. You know what? I know he's Dwayne Johnson. I know The Rock is the wrestling character, but he's always going to be The Rock to me.
Well, yeah. He's such an iconic character.
I can't separate them. And that man is like 47 years old, and it's craziness.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it comes from that era where it's like, if I were to see Steve Austin, whose legal name now is Steve Austin, I'd go, Stone Cold! You're going to yell Stone Cold! I'm going to like, oh.
And I'm going to grab the closest beer bottle and just, you know, smash it. Like, after you say it. Like,
I'm going to hand it to him. I'm like, no.
No, it's going to be empty. You're gonna say Stone Cold, and then I'm just gonna
Stone Cold. But yes, so Fast and Furious. Oh, that was Manuel's no spoiler review. So.
Yeah, that was the no spoiler review. Hold on.
Did you watch it as a Matt? Did you do anything special with the screen? Like, I mean, not special with the screen.
No,
did you watch the big one? Did you watch it in IMAX or whatever?
No. Went to regular theater in Alameda.
Okay. And would you recommend matinee? Is it worth the regular ticket price, or would you say matinee price?
You know, I can't even say, because if you're already going to go watch the Fast and the Furious movies, you've already invested so many hours into the movie series in itself. Like, like the regular, I mean, I guess there's no such thing as the regular moviegoer. I guess the casual moviegoer might enjoy it, but let's be perfectly honest. These movies are made specifically for the people who have been following along with the 20 years
of Fast and Furious.
Fast and the Furious.
More furious.
Fastest and furious.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, have fun, guys.
Okay.
So some things going on in our realm, I guess you would say, is Nintendo has announced that they are releasing a new Switch console. And the Switch console will have the OLED screen. And the clamshell will also have its own network adapter, so it's not going to just primarily run off of Wi-Fi, so you don't have to buy the adapter for
it. Thank God.
It's going to be $350. However, one thing that is missing from there, I guess you would say, is the 4K capabilities of it.
That's not the only thing that's missing.
The system will not have 4K on there. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. It sounds like Sean's kind of chomping at the bits on this one. So we'll go ahead and let him go first. Sean, what do you think of the new console?
I think it's amazing. And yeah. I actually wonder if I'm going to be the huge Nintendo mark and just buy this Switch.
Yeah, you are.
I don't think I'm going to. I mean, I don't feel like I have a need for it. The OLED screen is pretty badass. The clamshell improvements, I'm down for. But
for listeners out there, they're referring to the docking station.
Oh yeah, the docking station. Sorry, and then the kickstand's pretty rad, actually.
Yeah, that's actually pretty smart on how they did that.
I feel bad for Randy because he did all of that work on his, and his is like all white, like he's got the white Joy-Cons and everything.
Oh yeah, Joy-Cons are fine. I also have. It's actually I have a Nintendo skin on mine now, an NES skin.
Oh, sick. Okay, yes. Even better.
And yeah, for people who are listening to us and not watching our video, I actually have Nintendo's site where they announced the OLED model, the OLED edition.
Yeah.
Which comes out in October.
Yeah.
There is two colors. They have the standard black and the red and blue Joy-Cons. And then there's the all white one, which I feel is a little deceptive because it's only the Joy-Cons and the dock.
Yeah,
the docking station that are white, which I'm like, oh, it's a bummer.
So please continue, Sean.
Oh, okay. So on audio enhancements, I mean, I didn't really see too much of that. Three models still work the same way they do. I think me and Randy are in agreement here. No Bluetooth capability.
They haven't announced that yet. There's no anything. They haven't said it's not.
I
feel like, I'm sorry, I feel like that's a little reaching there, because I think that would be one of the things that they would promote off of their new console if they were going to have it right away.
Yeah. I don't know, I actually think that they probably wouldn't. Nintendo's the kind of company who doesn't care about things like that. So they're like, oh yeah, I think Nintendo would be like, oh yeah, by the way, here it is. Kind of like how they announced this console. Like, oh yeah, here it is. Because they could have done it at E3, didn't do that. They could have done it at one of their special events.
Yeah, that is weird. Why didn't they do it?
And there goes my wife.
Because from what it is. Actually, I found it interesting because one of the guys who announced someone, there's a person who's in charge of, who is a member of the Treehouse at Nintendo. And I actually know him, JC Rodrigo. And I haven't heard back from him yet. I messaged him yesterday. But he basically responded to Twitter asking, hey, as far as CPU and GPU goes, is there any difference between this and anything else? And he goes, nope. If you don't care about the screen, this isn't for you. And I'm like,
I figured.
And I'm like, yeah. And it's just funny because I've seen so many like tech sites, YouTube channels, all these video game related things are like quoting that. And I'm like, how's that feel being quoted for that? But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, that's the best answer is if you don't care about this amazing looking screen, which I've seen the videos for it, it looks really dope. And the new cosmetic look of it, and then you don't need to change it. And
well, I can understand why they're putting the microscope on that, because it's not so much of what he said. It's kind of how he said it.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of whenever you would call somebody out on something, as far as in the video game world, they would have a very much marketable response in that sense. Like if he had said more along the lines of something like, if you're actually happy with the current condition of what the Switch is, go to that. Instead, he said, this isn't for you. You know, that was the idea of like, it's not for you, but he's the guy that's supposed to say, you should want this, you should buy this. But him being honest and is just like, yo, I mean, this is an amazing screen, but if that's not really one of the things that you look for, that you don't need this. And I like that. I like that honesty. But in the marketing world and in the sales, and you want to sell as much as you can, when somebody actually tells you like, this isn't for you, it's just like, oh,
yeah,
really? That's,
yeah, I guess
that's weird. Like, did he just say that? Yeah, he did.
See here.
If anything, I want to buy is that new clamshell. Oh yeah, that new clamshell is pretty sick. Just because I have I can free up a USB slot and just have a like Cat5 network cable.
Yeah, there it is. Here it is. So the tweet goes, nope, not what's for. Stick with the current one if you're not digging the screen.
Yeah, because they asked, is it going to be more powerful and add more stuff? And they're like, no, it's the same thing. I'm like, yeah.
Which I also believe this opens up the question of it. I would assume that a lot of people really, really want a 4K display on actual televisions. Like, it's cool that they have this OLED screen on there, and there had already been talks about this screen being upgraded in advance beforehand. It was all talks until Nintendo actually announces it. But on the business side of it, do you guys see this as being a major selling point for the console now that it has an OLED? Or do you think that because of the fact that it still doesn't have 4K capabilities, despite whatever upgrades they've already put on there, it's worth the price point? Because if I'm understanding it correctly, a regular Switch is $299, right? And then this new OLED one is $349. The
non-detachable Joy-Cons?
No, that's the Lite, the Switch Lite. I'm talking about just the standard Switch.
Oh.
So the standard Switch, I believe, is like $300.
Yes, $299.
It's $299.
Yes.
$350 gets you the OLED screen. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is actually worth the extra $50 for people who were wanting the 4K?
I mean, if you want 4K, then a Switch is not for you. And as a whole, don't.
Yeah.
If you care about playing near Nintendo games in 4K, you have to wait, because it's not now.
That's next generation console.
That's not now.
Yeah.
Secondly, without 4K, Nintendo sold a ton of these consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've done, what was it? Someone said they're like almost surpassing, was it the 3DS? I can't remember what it was.
Randy, can you do me a favor? Do you still have the screen open for the Nintendo site?
Yeah.
Can you pull that up really quick?
Yeah.
Hold on. So maybe I should rephrase the question.
Sure.
So $350 price point. Randy's pulling up the screen right now so we can see exactly what the $50 is worth. We know it's the OLED screen. OLED
screen.
I mean, it's OLED screen, the new design.
The new clamshell. Dock shell.
Yeah.
Hey, why do you guys call it a clamshell? Because it's not actually a clamshell.
You know what? I got that from Sean, actually. I started calling it that when he started referring it to that. So you got the... You got... Okay, so for the extra $50, you got... The dock, the OLED screen, the little tab so that you can pop it.
And the 64 gig memory.
And the double the memory.
Yeah, which internally. And then better sound, which I'm assuming
they put in speakers. Do you think the consumer feels that with everything that comes in there, like, I'm a new buyer of Nintendo. I've played Nintendo all my life. Haven't gotten the Switch. Finally decided to do it. Do you think as a regular consumer... I would be willing to spend the extra $50 for everything that it comes with? Or do you think I'd save the $50 and get the regular one?
Just in general, there's a saying that I had heard from someone who does like reviews on tech, and he says, buy nice or buy twice, meaning, hey, you could get a middle tier one, but if you can afford to get the higher level, why not go for it? Because you'll just be thinking about it later. Like, well, and that's a proven That's the many companies have done such things. It's like,
not even just in electronics, but just anything in general.
So, I mean, if you're new, I mean, basically what I feel like what this is, it's trying to, it wouldn't be out of the realm of consideration that Nintendo is trying to get buyers who are on the fence about getting a Switch by saying, here, now the experience you're going to get is not going to be any more than anyone else who's doing it in docked mode, but it's also not going to be any less. And your handheld experience is going to be better because you now have this nicer screen with more internal storage. So, I mean, granted, internal storage, I feel like is kind of a throwaway because, you know, you can get you can get micro SDs relatively cheap.
Yeah, they're getting cheaper and cheaper every day.
But to have that extra internal storage, I mean, that it's actually pretty good. And, you know, the look of it is pretty clean looking. I actually like that one a lot.
What about you, Sean?
If you had a Switch already, I don't see there much of a point of getting another one. It does look clean, and that's kind of why I was thinking getting one and the OLED screen, but I have one. I'm not really freaking out about it. It's not like I'm going to experience the new Breath of the Wild any more different than somebody else. That clamshell though, I think I'll get that.
I'm wondering if it's actually compatible with the original.
Why wouldn't it be?
They said that the docking station is compatible with all other systems that are dockable, not the light, but if you have the version one Switch or the version two, they're all interchangeable. The one thing that people, I don't think you noticed this, Sean, but it is, they actually took out one USB port.
Did they? Where?
For the Ethernet, yeah. It's missing one. So.
So they just removed, look at that. Huh.
Yeah.
They removed one.
But they put the Ethernet.
To put the Ethernet there.
The LAN port.
But and I already know that like a USB hub doesn't work on the clamshell. It's like thick. Well, maybe it works on this clamshell.
I mean, it might. I mean, we don't know a lot until we get to see it in hand in October.
Yeah, that's true.
We're not getting it on launch, even if we try.
That's the real question, here.
Yes. I got teased a little because they announced it and I'm like, ooh, let me look online to see if it's available for pre-order. Nowhere. Then I get an alert saying, hey, Best Buy and GameStop have a pre-order page up. And I looked and I'm like, oh, not available. And they're like, wait, just kidding. They're just the landing page. It's actually not available for pre-order yet. I'm like, you jerks.
Yeah. So basically robots already picked it up. So
no. They haven't been. It. No, like they haven't launched the pre-order yet. It hasn't been sold to anyone yet.
All right. You're going to have to stop the robots from buying it.
So, you know, last question about this, guys, are you going to pick up an OLED Nintendo Switch?
I'm going to say no. If I could get the clamshell separately, I think I'll get that, but
no, they don't show it. I thought they'd show the other color. Oh. And you cannot buy the OLED edition docking station in retail. You have to order it from Nintendo's website.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
Yeah. What about you, Randy? Are you picking up the OLED screen?
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, people talk about it. I don't need another one. I have three Switches, so.
One you mod.
They're all modded.
They're all modded?
Well, the third one, I haven't done anything yet, but I have I gave my son I gave my very first Switch to my son because then I know he wanted that because I got the version 2 with the different GPU setup.
Yeah.
And then the Mario edition came out and I went, fuck it, that's kind of clean. I actually like that. It's all red. I bought that one. I actually haven't set that up yet. So, because I'm going to give my version 2.
I'm going to say yes. You're going to do it.
There's a good chance. Maybe. We'll see. Well, I mean, we'll see how this all works out. And then a lot of people are complaining about did they change the Joy-Cons? And everyone wants to talk about Joy-Cons because
it doesn't seem so.
And as far as drift goes, and I always think about when people say, I have Joy-Con drift. I'm like, did you try cleaning your controller? Nope. Then maybe you should try doing that. Because I'm not saying that solves every problem, but I play my Switch quite a bit and I've experienced drift. And all I do is, you know, take a little Q-tip, a little bit of alcohol, clean on the inside at least once or twice a week or every 2 weeks, and it fixes the problem. And I think people forget that you have to take care of your things in order for those things to work.
Constant maintaining,
And I'm not saying that there's anything that's bashing anyone who's like, I am having drift problems and, you know, it's not getting fixed. I'm like, if you tried cleaning it and it didn't work, okay, then there's a legitimate problem. I have not experienced that for my own personal thing of my many hours a week playing games.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the Switch, I find funny that everyone's like, oh, why can't we get the Switch Pro now? I'm like, that would kind of mess things up because none of the games have been designed for that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what are we going to experience different? Because that means you're going to ask every publisher, hey, can you make this Pro compatible if there is a need for it, if there's anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Which, but I'm sure they've already been talking to them prior to, but those guys are still under development on a lot of titles. So it's like, okay, here's the new thing that's going to come out. You guys may need to make some adjustments to the titles that you're making, et cetera, et cetera.
One thing I will say is that there's got to be something coming, because there was that data mine of Switch firmware that does call out some visual enhancement in docked mode.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, well, what is that? And is that ever coming? And then I also think about how many revisions of every handheld console has Nintendo made. And someone broke down a list, and it's like, on average, it's at least five plus revisions of a handheld that I went, oh yeah. I forgot about that. I forgot that, you know, that there's a micro version of the Game Boy Advance that served no purpose.
The keychain, like, one. Oh my god.
And it's like, why is that even a thing? Or that there's the 3DS, and then you have the XLs, and then you have the new 3DS XLs, and then the 2DS XLs, and then, you know, what? So Nintendo. Oh, hey, Sean, we lost you.
Shit.
Oh, he got so excited about that clamshell.
Yes. No, I was trying to get comfortable, and then I kicked my camera. Give me a second. I'm going to mute myself. Give me a hot second.
You don't need to mute yourself. You can still talk.
Well, you don't want to hear me grunt.
Well, we just did now.
Maybe some people just now got excited about that.
Yeah.
And for those people, I welcome it. It's fine. You're cool. But all right. I'll be right back.
I won't even be right back. Just pick up your camera.
I'm trying to. Give me a second.
Yeah, folks. So we've learned that the OLED edition may not be for everybody, but, you know, probably for me. We'll see. I don't know.
All right.
Sean doesn't know how to pick up his camera.
I don't see it as enough of a big deal. The truth is that when I play my Switch, I primarily play it on screen.
Mm.
I don't necessarily play it on the handheld mode.
Mm.
So something like this, I already picked up a.
I don't like that camera.
A memory card already for it, so that it defeats the purpose of that. And again, this is a Switch that's being made primarily because they're thinking about the people who play it more mobily than they actually do at home or on a docking station. Let's be honest. This is built specifically so that you can play the console a lot more comfortably.
Yeah, better.
Mobily, you know, like being able to move it around or anything. And I'm not that guy. I do from time to time play it, but I don't play it enough to where I can. I can justify spending a $350 for the OLED screen, you know?
I mean, that makes sense. Again, it's not for, like,
Voice
of Nintendo said it might not be for you.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Stick with the original, you know?
If you already have one, you don't need to. And realistically, you don't have to get one if you already own one. Hell, if you don't even own one, you don't have to get this.
Yeah.
They just made this incremental movement. And I just find it funny because I'm part of all these groups that have, I just wanted to hear what they say. And one person says, was very prominent about how Nintendo doesn't listen to their fans and only cares about money and is greedy. And I went, God forbid a company wants to make money to pay for things.
God forbid that shit.
I'm like, listen, they never.
God forbid that they don't make money to pay their mortgage
or even
and buy food and basic necessities.
And even if you don't care about that, God forbid they don't make money to fund projects that then you will need to like, and or not need to like, but will enjoy and play. But I looked at them like, listen,
no, need to like is accurate. You want that Metroid 4.
It's like, yeah,
you want that Breath of the Wild.
Like, but they got me is that it's like, listen, they didn't promise anything. No one announced anything. These were all rumors. This was all things of speculation. One thing was accurate. And well, technically one and a half, that there is a new docking station, but
yeah,
you know, it's not what we wanted. And one of those things I'm okay with is there's nothing that Nintendo's history has shown me that I need to have the most powerful performance of anything.
Right. Look at the Wii. When the Wii came out, we had Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. hugely more powerful consoles that we still sold. It sold really well because it was still a lot of fun. Everybody enjoyed it. You know, it's not because, you know, we have the most powerful item that, oh, you know, it's the best. No, people can still be able to have fun with a whole bunch of different things that isn't necessarily the latest tech or the latest edition of anything.
Oh, well. Oh, yeah, sorry. I was looking for, they're trying to surpass their lifetime sales of the Wii console, which was 101 million, almost 102. They're at 84.59 million units sold for lifetime.
Cool.
Which is pretty good considering this is not a super powerful system. This is not a, you know, this is not the, it's not about performance. It's about the quality of their games they have and how easy it is to access it. I'm like, well, yeah. I'm okay with all those things.
Makes sense.
There's a funny, YouTube comedy group I follow called Reckless Comedy, and they actually have live, they did a whole thing called PlayStation Girl, which is a live representation of what the PlayStation consoles are. And they actually have it where during E3, they had an argument between Xbox, the Xbox console girl versus the PlayStation 5 one. And then Nintendo shows up and it's this like very cute Japanese girl. She has like pigtails with her red and blue. So she looks,
it's an
like...
animation, right?
It's live action.
Oh,
it was live action. I'll show you guys later, I'll show you the link. But it's funny because he goes, hey, we got these fun games. And they all make fun of her because she's not a beefy console. She's like, oh, no. She's like, maybe you should get a better GPU and higher processing power. And she goes, oh, no, thanks. I don't need any diet tips. I don't want to bulk up and look really fat. And I was like, oh. I'm like, yeah, because they know what they got. He's like, we know what we are. We're okay with that. But thanks. You guys are awesome. And I'm like, not that they represent the Nintendo or Xbox or PlayStation anyway, but I thought that was the best example of how Nintendo is in any of these console wars that have been going on in the last decade, is they don't care about what everyone else is doing in that sense. They care about how they're represented. It's like, yeah. Now, would it be cool if they made like a really super awesome pro console? I mean, yeah.
You know, there's a part of me that is genuinely curious of what they would make if they did do that, because everything that they've made hasn't been the latest tech, the most powerful things. What they're doing is they're using imagination and creativity to design their consoles.
Yes.
I am genuinely curious of how that would be applied to the most powerful of everything. Like, would Nintendo create if they had the latest specs on everything and still applied that same concept of ingenuity? What would we get as the consumer? It blows my mind how awesome that would be.
I mean, the one thing I will say that they've done a lot is they've been innovative on how you experience it. From, you know, how the Nintendo 64 controller was, even the GameCube controller was technically the closest to what a standard controller other companies have made was, but still very different looking.
Yeah.
And then they went with the whole wireless motion controls with the Wii and the Wii U, and was like, they found a place to be put themselves in, and this worked. And now, was it gimmicky? Sure. But a lot of people responded well to it. And then now with the Joy-Cons, now as far as quality goes, I'm not even going to talk about that because everyone's already done that. But the fact that they made a controller that you can pretty much just use on its own or with its partner controller, it's pretty creative and innovative to me. Now, I don't know as far as what the next thing they'll do is, but you know, I think we'll find out maybe next year when they're like, all right guys, here we go, here's the not Switch Pro, but it's pretty pro to us. By the way, no Bluetooth capability yet for headphones,
guys.
That's actually the one thing I'm like, oh guys,
this is cool. Well, I will say this though, these are the PlayStation Gold headsets, and it did have the USB Bluetooth adapter. It did work.
It does. Oh really?
It does work on the Switch. So if you plug in the USB adapter to it, you can use that as a receiver for this. I don't know about controllers, but I know headsets.
I don't need a controller, but I would like, I'm curious on whether they're like, waiting for someone to figure out, no, you can actually do that, but here's how you do it. It's like, oh, like no extra thing. Like the new OLED version has that built in. It's a hidden feature that people are like, oh yeah, here it is, guys. They're like, oh shit, it works. I know that's a sticking
point. That wouldn't surprise me, actually.
That's a sticking point. I know for a lot of people are like, why doesn't it have Bluetooth for headphones? I'm like,
just, you know what? Here's the answer.
There you go.
PlayStation Gold headset.
Gold
do that. Plug it in. You're good to go.
Oh, we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping maybe I'll get one. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens in October when I go, oh yeah, by the way, guys, look what I just bought, 4 of them. Here we go.
Holy shit, Randy, stop it.
Like, here, I got 4 of them. They're all modded. Check it out.
Like, it's my 4th Nintendo child.
Here you go. All right. So do we want to go with, you want to talk about Assassin's Creed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is weird.
So there was a leak some time ago talking about Assassin's Creed Infinity being a live service game, which I know a lot of people go, oh no, live service games is terrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess unfortunately it's a thing that people really enjoy. But yeah, the article I saw was on Polygon. Let me see if I can share that, where they talk about what it is. And unfortunately it got leaked and then they had to officially come out with one, Ubisoft came out with an official statement explaining it. And I'm not going to say I actively want to see this happen, but I understand why it is happening. Because, you know, a lot of these big titles are now associated with some sort of service. And, you know, having it be done, because they now officially announced that it's going to be working with 2 different studios, will be working in conjunction on this project simultaneously, as opposed to them, you know, switching off from studio to studio, which, you know, I think from a development standpoint makes a lot of sense if you can get the best of both teams to do it. But yeah, it's not that. Let's see, where is
it? Well, I mean, it's been doing that as far as different developers, but in the sense of, in order to keep up with the yearly launch of the Assassin's Creed series, kind of like the Call of Duty series, when it first started off, it was Treyarch and Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
The Ubisoft. How do you guys pronounce it? Ubisoft or Ubisoft?
I believe it's actually pronounced Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. Yeah, okay.
Fine with me.
Ubisoft ended up taking a page from that, and that's how we were able to get essentially yearly Assassin's Creed games. It's kind of cool, the fact that there's actually going to now be 2 studios working in conjunction with each other for this live service game. My thing with live service games is that I'm always afraid that it's going to fall under the pay to win category, in the sense of, like, in order for you to like level up as fast as possible, you know, you can grind through the game, but they'll always make the grind, It'll start relatively well, but as you start leveling up, you get to the point where it's just like you're barely doing anything, because you're limited to only so much before it's just like, oh, well, that's it. But if you want to keep going, you can pay this. I think the most recent example actually was Destiny and one of their cosmetic features, their new cosmetic features, where you can earn the currency necessary to do modifications to your character's design, but you can only win so much before you actually had to essentially spend money. You had to buy the actual currency with real life cash in order to go in there and change anything. Maybe it's not the greatest example because it's not pay to win, but it gets to that point where it's just like, again, you can only do so much before you get capped. And now if you want to do more, you got to shell out that cash. And I'm wondering, with this, will Assassin's Creed, will Ubisoft follow that same trend, or will they try something different?
Am I weird in saying that I think I would want to play this one?
Not at all.
I'm excited for every time there's an Assassin's Creed game, I get excited about, because I like the franchise. And having it be a live service, I always think about how, listen, this is how games have been trending, and for a lot of companies it's very successful. Why can't they give it a shot? The only way this will not work is if people don't buy it, and then they'll go, okay, well, this didn't work, we're gonna have to switch out and maybe go back to the way it was. If they don't give this a shot, they might be losing out on A, making a really good product, and B, making a lot of money.
Yeah,
to make other stuff.
I present this question to you, gentlemen.
Sure.
A while back, a couple of years ago, EA came out and said, service games are the future. that's what all video games are going to be very, very soon. I remember that next year, Sony destroyed as far as sales and awards. They released single content games like God of War and Spider-Man, where it wasn't like a major service, to kind of show that that might not be the case. Do you think, personally, that video games are going to start becoming more of a service-based games? Do you guys think there'll still be a landscape for people who just want the one playthrough type of game?
I feel like there's going to be a both, because, I mean, how many times have I, like, I think I've had a conversation with Sean, like, you know, it would be really cool if, you know, we were playing like games like wrestling games like No Mercy or WrestleMania, or like, instead of having to buy one every year, why don't they just, you know, make it where we get updates all the time?
That
you have to find a perfect format and just update.
I think Sean and I think Sean and I talked about this.
That is a service game.
Yeah, I think Sean and I were talking about that as far as the Madden series and the FIFA series.
Like, for things like that, that you don't necessarily need to have a new one every year, because everything itself is great, but you want to add just extra content to it or whatnot, or have things.
I feel like licensing fees also apply.
I mean, for that, but that's just an example. It's like, oh, like online, you know, there's MMOs. Those are service games. I'm like, yeah. I'm not everyone's a hitter.
Yeah. In the case of wrestling games, I think I brought it up when me and you were talking about it, or Andy, that we brought it up just like, you know what? You made the one system and engine that actually worked like a charm, instead of like progressively making another one and another one, another one. Yeah. And you try to improve on the formula and you're fucking it up as every iteration goes on. Like, I would have just been fine with just a new roster update when, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality. I'm fine with that.
But, and, you know, obviously until you find out that you could be, I mean, I get, cause for that, you always want to try and figure out, can you make this a little better? Just, you know, at some point,
I know, I get that too. Hole.
But yeah, again, that's all, that is, if we were to get content updated, like, I'm like, that is a service game. Not saying that every company, like, they haven't done that, because I wish that's the type of game where I'm like, why isn't that a thing? Why don't we have that?
You know what? I think.
But, you know, licensing.
I see where you guys are going with it. As far as the updates as to, you know, whatever, as far as roster or characters are concerned, I think that's where one of the difficulties lie.
Well, yeah.
So let me give you guys an example. You guys brought up wrestling, so that's the best thing.
I think they just want to make money, but I mean, whatever.
It's not just the sense of they want to make money. Of course, everybody wants to make money. Nobody is getting into this business and not hoping to get something in return on this.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Don't make
things for free.
But when you look at something like, let's use football and let's use wrestling as an example. Okay, so in the wrestling terms, let's say that the two, it's just going to be called, let's go for the biggest one. Let's go WWE. So WWE is going to be releasing a title, and they're going to release it once, and then they're just going to do like a service fee every year for licensing purposes and whatnot. You know, these are things that they have to do because they're using other people's images. And when you use that person's image, you need to also give them a cut of the money as well. You know, anybody who gets on the cover of the WWE games, every time a copy sells, they make a little bit of extra money because they're on the cover of the game. They are the spokesman. They are the mascot for that particular year. Now, the problem is, I want to play as... I mean, this isn't the best example, but let's just go for it. I want to play a Samoa Joe in these wrestling games. Joe is one of my favorite wrestlers. Cool dude. I've seen him outside the ring. I've seen him inside the ring. Well, Samoa Joe got fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's back. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. This is a bad example. Yeah. But Samoa Joe got fired. Now, in order for them, since he is no longer under contract for WWE and he can't make any money off of them, they have to remove him from the game. But
they just make a character that's not Samoa Joe, call him not
Samoa Joe. Not and then Joe. Boom,
change his color, make him
But it's one of those things where you look at it, you look at it and you're just like, but I spent the $30 for the licensing fee in order for me to continue to play as this character, and you're not allowing me to do so anymore. And I understand why, because again, he is no longer employed there. Let's go for the NFL, for instance. I'm not too familiar with it. Let's say, I don't know, Peyton Manning got traded to the Raiders for whatever reason. Like he was in the game and whatnot. Well,
we're in a topsy-turvy world.
Yes. Yeah. It's, again,
actually, this is with that, they may win, but yeah. You know.
Well, this is just example and whatnot. But again, you know, he had this entire licensing deal with whoever he was with. And now that he got traded, there is a good chance that there is a portion of time of within that 1 year of paying that service fee that I don't get to have him on my team. Well, why is that? Well, because they're still working on this new contract. So he's not actually making any money. He's not supposed to make any money until this contract gets filled out. So, well, wait a minute. I gave my money, though. I want him on my team. And it just creates this whole new dynamic of how it would work when it comes down to service games. Now, there are service games out there that are fantasy-based entirely, so you don't really have to worry about that.
No, but well,
when you look at, like, sports games or things that are based off of I don't like to call wrestling real life, but as far as...
I mean, they're real people.
Like,
I mean,
as real people.
They're real people.
As characters and whatnot. You know, I want to play as wrestlers from like 3 years ago, but they're with the rival company now. But I'm not going to be able to play with them on this title.
Easily fixed by putting a agreement or a notification saying, "Listen, these are licensed characters, and we reserve. You must understand that agreeing to purchase this item, you may lose the persona of this character, but we will work to replace it with, you know, a character that is exactly the same, but not."
I'm going back to that Magneto and Captain Marvel thing from Marvel versus Capcom. Just like they have the four directional way, you know, they fly in the air. Like,
I'm not saying that. Like, yeah, okay,
the functions.
Yeah, they have not Joe has the functions of Samoa Joe.
It also looks like Samoa Joe, but is not Samoa Joe. He's like maybe a different colorway. I'm like, first of all, there's wrestling games that have done that for years. Years have things like that where it's like, yeah, that's not actually Stone Cold. It's like Billy Rock. Yeah, but it's Stone Cold. Okay. He does the stunner. He looks exactly the same. His trunks are a different color. That's it. It's like, listen, you got to get over those things. I'm like, yeah. No. And also that Marvel's cap, I'm like, that's not the same thing. I'm saying literally the same character design like they did with Michael Jordan, NBA Live. Jordan was never in the game, but they made a guy who had the same number who looked almost like him, but they didn't call Michael Jordan. They called him like Custom Player 4 or whatever.
You know what? That actually reminds me. We talked about this a while back. Do you guys remember when we talked about Booker T suing Activision? Because because one of the characters on there looked like his character created G.I. Bro.
Yes.
He lost.
Yes,
he did. It was actually announced. He lost. They threw the suit out. And they didn't say that there wasn't enough evidence that showed that he pulled enough or Activision pulled a lot from the G.I. Bro character.
Yes.
I thought I would bring that up because you just mentioned like the almost that character kind of thing.
And it's been a thing that's been done for a long time. So I'm like, listen, I mentioned that as a placeholder of yes, in the example we gave for live services for professional wrestling or any sports, if there is a player who's missing from your roster, I also think that they'll probably allow it to still be going if you're paying money. If you're paying money for a service, they're probably go, okay, we're going to work it out with the legal fees. It'll change the landscape as far as how the actual promotion and the parties involved are. But
would you be turned away if they did that?
What, live service like that?
Yeah, where they're just chuck like, again, it's markers. let's go back to the Samoa Joe and not Joe thing.
Yeah.
Like, again, Joe's not part of the wrestling company anymore, so they give you not Joe.
Which does he look like him?
Sean's giving me like this perturbed look, like that frustrates him a little bit. Well, let me ask you actually, Sean, would you, if you were to actually pay for the services as this, like, and you were just like, I want this character, and then this ends up happening, is that enough for you to be turned away from that product, or would you still continue to give out that yearly service?
It would turn me away, honestly. And I'm more like a gamer. Like, I would like things to play well, function well, and it has the characters I like. awesome. But then if you do something like, yeah, like the whole substitute Michael Jordan thing, or like, oh yeah, Samoa Joe is fired, but you know, we're replacing him with
not Joe,
Bob Michaels, whatever, and he plays exactly like Samoa Joe. That just takes like the whole like immersion like out, you know. It's like, oh, because oh yeah, Samoa Joe got fired, or he got caught doing something that WWE isn't all about.
Yeah,
rip his ass out of the game. So aww, like that's bullshit.
He got problems, man. He actually
yeah,
has
like
problems.
Fucking
it, that it, has a real it, problem.
It like, completely like fucks it over, and I'm not okay with it. I think WWE has some sort of like deal with any of that, or the wrestlers, especially their game or whatnot. That
what about
if you fuck up and we have to if you fuck up and we fire your ass, we're keeping your likeness in a game just for the game. I think there's something out
well,
there.
I know that they'll like retain that. The name of
like
wrestlers.
They'll retain the name and then the likeness, I think.
Well, not entirely, because if that were the case, we'd probably be getting more Dudleys in the video game.
Maybe, and but we don't, like we CM don't get Punk's them as well.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, I mean, CM Punk never gave his name away, but the Dudleys lost their name.
Yes, they did.
To WWE. Okay. So, which is why they always had to go with something different. Okay, so we talk about wrestling, but what I know you're not the biggest sports guy, but does the same apply if you're playing Madden or FIFA?
Yep.
It applies.
Because it's like I've played that that game where they had basically take Jordan because they didn't pay him.
Well, no, they didn't. They never put him in because, you know.
Yeah, they never put him in because
his license is really high.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay for him. So they just changed him with something else. It was like something. It was like player 9 or something. It was like really it takes you out of the like the immersion. I'm like, oh, my pass to player 9.
I don't think it's that big. I mean, I guess if it's that like that for you. But I look at him like, do I get to do the same things he does?
Yeah.
OK, then yeah, still, then it's fine. It's like, no, yeah. That's
me.
Great.
So, I'm actually genuinely game, curious about this.
Yeah, and the game has to play really well. If it does,
okay.
Cool.
I mean, if everything plays exactly as it was, but they had to remove a character or a persona because they no longer have that person,
mm-hmm.
I look at it and also, if you're paying a fee, it's got to be more than just one character you're into. You have to be willing to go into like more than just that one person. Or else then, like, why are you
not entirely?
So
not entirely.
I mean, I feel like you're getting
taken.
Also,
let me give you another example, and we'll stick to wrestling for right now.
Oh God, why? We were online
because well, in the sense of that's like, because he was saying like the idea of, you know, you pay your money. There's got to be more that you want to see, but there was actually a really good point that Jericho brought up on one of his interviews when he was interviewing Paul Heyman, and for some reason he had Edge on the show.
Okay.
And it was a match. It was CM Punk and Jericho versus Edge and Randy Orton. And in that match, Jericho did not get tagged in at all. CM Punk was mad at him because they were watching like the NHL finals. Oh no, the Olympics. I think it was the Olympics, and it was Canada versus America for the final. You know, winner gets the gold, loser gets silver. And him and Edge were watching it, and they're like, "What do you want to do for the match?" And Jericho's like, "Well, just call it in there. You know, we've done this plenty of times. We can totally call it." Punk got mad, wrestled the entire match, never tagged in Jericho, to the point where Jericho actually went to the audience and ate some of their popcorn. Like, that's just how bad it was. He was just like, hey, let's get some popcorn. And then he's like, and then someone threw a soda on me. I was pissed. So he goes in the back and Punk goes, what you did was very unprofessional. And he said, no, what you did was very unprofessional. There is a very good chance that people paid their money to see me wrestle. And you just took that away from them. You know, there are people that specifically go to see their one favorite wrestler. And that can kind of go for the same on these live services and things. Like, you do this specifically for, as far as wrestling, yeah, you'll have that one character. For a sports game, I understand Randy's point because, you know, it's a team. But, you know, from time to time, you have your Michael Jordans, you have your Shaquille O'Neals, you have those big names that's just like, I'm willing to spend money if I can play as this character or have this character on my team. But if they take that away, more towards your point, Sean, it's enough for you to where it's just like, if they're not going to have this, why am I going to give my money to this? I'm not going to be able to enjoy this as much because this one character isn't there.
It just takes the immersion out of the game. And it's like, oh, I'm passing to custom player five, you know? And if it's not somebody that I made, now if custom player five is wearing a fedora and a zoot suit and playing basketball, like, all right, fine. I made him. That's okay. And he has like the totally made up stats. Fine. Okay. But if this is like with athletes and whatnot, and like fucking
what this does as far as the video game landscape is, it now starts introducing a whole bunch of new things to think about when it comes down to developing games, because it used to be as simple as, oh, you make a video game and then it's glitchy. It's a big deal. A lot of the times people take advantage of those glitches and they go farther in the game. The speed runners go through it. You know, later on with online connectivity, they're able to patch things now to fix things up. You know, that was the new thing. And then just new things started happening. Hacks started happening. Everything happened. And this kind of goes in the same direction with live service games, where now it is becoming more prominent. No more companies are taking advantage of this and they want to create these huge universes. That in itself will also come up with more, I don't want to say problems, because you know, it's not always a bad thing, but at the same time, it's opening new doors to where, how are we going to handle situations like this?
I feel like it's not a new conversation, because you're talking about live service games as if
not a new one, but a more prominent.
Well, I mean, MMOs have been around for a long ass time. Yeah. Those are live service games,
right? But in the sense of like, most of those MMOs were primarily like PC titles, like World of Warcraft and whatnot. But now when we're talking about turning those into big titles that like Assassin's Creed, somewhere down the line, we might see one for Call of Duty, because there is actually a very, very deep lore to that series as well.
Yes. No, but all I'm saying is that there is the idea, the basis of this isn't a new concept, and it's been around for many, many years. Just because World of Warcraft is not on a console doesn't negate the fact that live service games have been around for a long ass time. I mean, technically speaking, we've been playing, PSO was on the Dreamcast, and technically speaking, that would have been a live service game. I had to pay a fee to get into that. Well, not the first year, but
I was like, what the hell's PSO? Fantasy Star.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's those things where I'm like, listen, if there's a type of game where it will work out, and there will be people who play it and really enjoy it, there's others, like maybe sports things, maybe that won't work because it is involving real people. Yeah. But the idea that Assassin's Creed, I mean, I'm actually interested in this, and depending on their pay structure. Also, if there's a point where I don't actually get to pay anything to play something like this and get the bare minimum enjoyment, what's the big deal? What is the big deal? Now, there are points where I'll go, hey, maybe I want to get this extra. I'm hoping it's not going to be all cosmetic stuff, because they already have proven in their regular games, their non-live service games, that works, because they've had the Ubi bucks or whatever they call it to buy outfits for so long. And listen, it doesn't do anything. And like, I know you scoff at it, Sean, but that doesn't take anything away from the game. It doesn't add anything other than visual. It's like,
Again, I whenever you talk about that, I immediately go to Street Fighter, because they will sell new costumes for characters, and you will see those people, you will see that costume a lot when people stream online.
Yeah,
like people did pay the $1.25 for that costume, or the $5 for the entire
it's
pack.
Not always that Ubisoft, and sometimes Ubisoft just wants you, like I participate in their membership, where I didn't pay anything. All it is they cared about whether or not I played their game, and that's how I earn currency. I earned their currency because I played the game, and then I got extra stuff from and all across all of their games. Like, it's like, oh, okay. I didn't actually.
You know what? I placed the argument of the one title that they didn't do that, and that was South Park.
Well,
that's because I signed up for it. Yeah, if you pre-ordered the game and you signed up for their Ubisoft thing, you got the Assassin's Creed costume and the Hidden Blade.
Yeah,
which was actually really powerful to have. And then I was like, oh, cool. And I'll start the game off with this, and I'll be pretty powerful. And then I was playing it, and then I realized there was a level 2 costume and a level 2 blade and a level 3 costume. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I was like, I wonder if I'll be able to purchase that through in-game currency if I play through the game. Nope. Nope. It was, that was one of the things that you did have to pay for. I was like,
I mean, I imagine that was so they could make some money.
Of course.
They paid a lot. Get your ass on that game.
Well, it's also because, you know, South Park does not belong to them. So they're like, fuck, we got to pay a licensing fee for this. How do we recoup this cost?
Yeah.
I'm hoping with the Assassin's Creed Infinity that it's a fun experience and that they try and support it for at least a good year with full of stuff and announcements, and then you see how that works out. The fact that they're going to have their Montreal and their Quebec studios are going to be working on it. Those are like one of their top tier studios.
Yeah, you know, it is.
They've had similar done similar things like with their other franchise they have, the
Division.
The Division. They did something similar with this, so hopefully.
And it didn't do too well.
No, but it's also for an IP that's not proven.
That's
true. They're just working out the tech. Assassin's Creed's been around for a while, and if this doesn't work out, it's not going to be hard for them to revert back.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of them doing this to Assassin's Creed, but at the same time, I'm like, shit, I think this might be the one I want to play, because I haven't played an Assassin's Creed since 3. And Black Flag, because they are all buggy. When Arno can fucking fall through the world, I'm like, you didn't finish this game. Fuck that.
I mean,
so I didn't play it.
Valhalla's really good.
Syndicate, I didn't play. I wanted to play Origins, and I'm like, I just missed it. I'm like, fuck.
Maybe I should have given it more time, but I did get exhausted with the Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, and Valhalla.
I started with two. Did Brotherhood, had a lot of fun.
Brotherhood's great.
And then I started getting tired on Revelations. And I feel like I should have finished it, because that was the last story for Ezio. And then I could have gone into Assassin's Creed 3. But man, it's just, that game is now so expansive. It's so huge. It's just like, I'm almost intimidated to go back into it.
I mean, on the same note, there's people going, man, I'm glad that these games aren't as short as they used to be.
Oh
yeah.
They're big.
Yeah, Brotherhood could have definitely have been like an expansion for like $20 to add that into Assassin's Creed 2, I think.
Maybe 30.
Let's meet in the middle. Let's meet in the middle. 25. Let's meet in the middle.
Sure. That's fair. At 25, I'd have been happy with that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I played almost every single one except for the DS ones. Like the
part. Oh yeah. Okay. I get
the only ones. DS or PSP?
There's a DS one. It's not great.
Randy, if you've played all of them,
yeah,
is it still, does the franchise still matter with a guy in white with a hidden blade and
does being it matter
the like, is it still like about a guy in the Animus?
I mean, there
and they, like real world shit.
There's different characters, so it's not always just a guy doing this. I mean, what was it in not in Valhalla, but the one before that, they had it where you could play as a female character, and it's like their origins and
whatever. Yeah, origin.
But all that, not it's not necessarily
origin. Origin was Bayek and his wife.
Yeah,
and then,
I think what they ended up doing is, you know, after Revelations, they still followed the whole war between the Assassins and the Templar.
No, because...
No, they did, because you actually work with the Templar in Greece, and some of them.
The one in Greece?
No, the Black Flag one, you do work with the ones in with the
Yeah,
the
you Templar. Do, but the one in Greece, the one like with Athens and the Romans, that happened way before all of that war, so...
Well, yeah, that was the start of it.
Yeah, that's not Origins, though. Oh God, I forget the name of that. Oh well.
And you know what? I'm remembering that DS one you were talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, because it played like it was like, you know, they're using their old school Prince of Persia look, and it's not bad. It's their 2D game, and it's not bad. It's, you know, it's like those other 2D ones where it's like in China and India, and like, oh yeah.
Russia. There's like, one in Russia for sure.
Yeah. Well, no, they're all part. Was it the Assassin's Creed Chronicles?
Guys, we're closing in on the end time. I got one last question for you, and it comes down to service games. What titles would you guys want to see as a service game?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Let's see. Any racing game actually would be pretty dope. I mean, they kind of have that now.
Yeah. Right,
well, But I think if they were to not make a new Need for Speed Underground, but, you know, make it a service game, I'd be okay with that.
I don't want that it would to be happen rad, to any actually. Game.
Yeah?
Yeah. The only reason I'm kind of stoked for it for like Assassin's Creed is because, for me, I feel like that's going to breathe a bit more life and variety into Assassin's Creed and go, oh, okay, cool. All right. Sean, let's see what happens.
Did you feel like Assassin's Creed needed this?
I don't know. Since I stopped playing them before they started getting buggy.
I feel like you have the worst luck when it comes to games, because I've never experienced anything like that at all. Like the what you're describing, right. Or even when you like talked about the Batman game on Steam and how you experienced it. I'm like, whatever one you said.
Oh, yeah, was it Gotham Knight? No,
it was Arkham Knight.
Yeah, Arkham Knight. Like, yeah, oh, no, Arkham Knight's a never fucking train wreck.
Had a problem like that.
On my PC, then you're then you know what, Randy? Wreck. You are in the minority.
I
guess I'm
very lucky. I know Randy's like, oh, Randy's just lucky. Blow my ass away, really? Like, no. Fuck!
Cursed it. Really, these games.
Damn.
I mean, maybe I overlooked things. I understand the work that goes into what it makes to make these games, but I've never noticed anything to that experience. Also, I feel like if it was more than enough, then they probably would have tried fixing it.
I know
if they could afford to.
I know I've been on a kick on this for a little bit, Sean. But if I were to see a live service game, I'd love to see a Castlevania. I feel like that in itself can be a large enough universe, and you can have like a bunch of different classes going in there to try to actually defeat Dracula. You know, you have your standard vampire hunters. There's one time where you play as a werewolf. So that would be like a lichen version.
Oh man, I remember that.
You know, forge masters, you know, all those things I think would work out really well. For that would
be pretty rad actually.
You know, you got the monk.
I mean, also the whole, I mean, at least based on the company standpoint, it makes it easier because then they just have to develop one game. Obviously, they're going to partner in this case. They're partnering with their other studio and then just do updates as much as they can. So they don't have to worry about the struggle of, A, creating a whole new game every freaking year or two. So that means they're working. It's like, oh.
We got time for one more question. Cool. Since it goes, we're going back to service one more time. How long do you think a title should be worked on before they start working on the next one?
I mean, are we talking a big AAA title?
I asked this because NetherRealm Studios just announced that they are no longer going to be supporting Mortal Kombat 11. Mm-hmm. Like, they've done everything for that. What do you guys think is the good lifespan for a service game before they go into the next one? Kind of like how World of Warcraft would always have those expansions. Like, they would do as much as they can on this first one, and then they would create the new one.
I mean, I guess the type of game.
But let's go with Assassin's Creed, since we're talking about Assassin's Creed. How long do you think they'll work on this title before they
as a live service? I'm gonna say they're probably projecting 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So, do you think five years is a good term?
I mean, before that's they go what to they're the next going one? For.
What do you think?
I'm gonna go five.
Yeah, what,
five.
You're gonna go with five as well?
I'm gonna go 5 years.
Sean, what do you think?
The average. Let me see. What is the average?
If they have a hit and it's not live service, you can get to work immediately. But if not, I mean, I guess it's up to you and what you have like down in the pipe of your studio. Because a place like Ubisoft, I mean, is working on plenty of other video games. And
but what do you think? What do you personally think as far as just like how much time should a live service go before it's just like, all right, new title, here we go, and then they start that live service?
You know, honestly, if you brought up World of Warcraft and that's Team Blizzard Fortress. And Blizzard likes to work like immediately after the last thing comes out. Just to like, because they're money hungry and Activision, of course. But when it comes out, it's like, oh, it's not the greatest. And it's like, you just made us spend money for some just tiny bit of shit that you just did, you know, you assholes. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it just depends on the company, man. I don't have any.
Yeah, we're not talking about the company. It's like you yourself. Like, what do you think? How long would you support a live service game before you would think, you know what, we're not getting anything else, we're done?
Man, I just, it's, I have no real answer. I don't have like a real educated.
Then just like, give us a hypothesis. Sure,
I'll go with Randy's 5 years.
5 years.
Okay. Like whatever. And especially with the Mortal Kombat thing. I mean, with them not supporting Mortal Kombat 11 anymore.
That was like 3 or 4 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were just kind of done with it. And then like, all right, cool, that's good. And they can't add any more to it, probably because they have something up in the pike coming down.
New like, Injustice game.
Maybe. They're also apparently totally... Marvel's in their shit right now. So
I can only keep my fingers crossed on that one.
I totally blanked on this one too, but I also forget GTA Online is a live service game. And they just Grand Theft Auto Online, technically,
right.
live service game. And they have their own currency, which I forget. Yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did that. You can gamble. That's why they remember they had that old issue on PS3.
We talked about it, yeah.
But they just now recently shut down GTA Online for PS3, which I'm like, damn, and that's Xbox a long 360. Ass time.
Yeah. They did. With the console that it originally came out on.
So it's like, you know, you could, if you have something that's a hit and it's easily to do, like that's a...
I was still at GameStop when that game came out. How long ago was that?
Oh, yeah, GTA Online. That's live service.
Aren't they making a PS5 version of GTA 5?
Yeah,
isn't it already out?
I thought that's is or it's not out. Yeah, I thought it's this fall, right? Isn't it this fall?
Yeah,
dude. No,
but yeah, I look at it, I'm like, well, if he again, if that shows, hey, they had a hit and they knew they could get away with it.
All right.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying that it's the future. I will say that there are games that make sense to put that in there, and as long as it's not. As long as they do their best work for it, I can see it sustaining for at least 5 years. Damn, I forgot GTA 5. Oh my God, that's a long ass time.
Still going, too.
What?
I mean, makes me wonder how long Red Dead Redemption is going to go. Red Dead Online?
They just got something, too, recently.
Yeah. So, and they all, and those all are, you know, you can put money into it if you want to.
Yeah.
Or not.
All right, gentlemen, we have hit our mark. I think this is a good episode. Good times all around.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Randy, Sean, for being on here.
Cool, no problem.
And listeners, thank you so much. Make sure you're subscribing and sharing this with your friends. It helps us out a lot. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. Peace.
And that was the ESRK. Thanks for listening. As always, we'd appreciate a like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow us on our social media at ESRK, that's CADE, on Facebook and Twitter, and ESR_Cade on Instagram. And hey, you can follow Randy on Twitter at Randy B. Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, and Ransom01 on Instagram. I see what you did there, bud. Thanks again for listening. The arcade is officially closed. See you next time.